Blog Talk Radio.
And now, welcome to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus. Broadcasting from L.A. to around the world, here's your host, Pete Asmus.
All right.
Welcome, everybody. Today is, it's Wednesday, right? We've got Wednesday, that's for sure. Wednesday, August 5th. I am here with my co-host, Van Castaneda. How are you doing this morning?
Great. How's everybody doing today?
I think I'm doing fantastic. I think everybody's doing fantastic. We are going to start off the show as normal with our headlines, and then we're going to go into a new section that we're doing with Van, where every week she's going to bring us a little tip about, you know, financial retirement for financial planning and all of that stuff. It's retirement planning and financial. Man, I had it this morning too. There you go. Advisor. So let's get started. Let's go ahead and talk about what are our hot topics this morning.
Well, hot topic. Last week we spoke about, or at least I spoke about, how to retire with stress-free. And since then I had a couple calls from folks asking me, tell me more about that product. What does it mean? So I'm going to go into it a little bit. As mentioned before, you know, as investors people with families, we always think about how we want to invest our money for retirement, et cetera, and there's so many options out there, and it's just so darn confusing for the average person. So I'm going to make it real simple and make this very, very layman's term. When you're investing, you always want to look at the benefits. There's always going to be pros and cons of any investment. There's no perfect solution when you're investing, right? So I kind of focus on one of the most probably lowest risk products I can think of, which is called an equity index universal life insurance. Now, many people go, what is she talking about? How can life insurance be an investment? You know, it's a death benefit. It's if I die. That's absolutely
right. True.
It covers that. But there's another component of it that many people just don't know about. And what you don't know is what you don't know. So under the equity index universal life insurance, a couple things. Firstly is it offers security against stock market decline. It is a product with built within the life insurance that is offers you more security than your average stock market investment. I'll explain more. It is also really technically, it's one of the most valuable assets, in my opinion, you can possibly have in your entire portfolio because, again, very little downside risk with plenty of upside potential, okay? So what does that mean? It's basically you buy a life insurance product. Every month you put in a certain $100 for premium. A certain proportion of that premium goes to your life insurance death benefit, and a certain portion goes to this cash value building account, which is linked to this index. And the algorithm between the combination, the mixture, or the ratio depends on your investment risk of tolerance, okay? So five things I can kind of boil down to you why this is, to me, where you should think about investing your money. One is there are favorable tax treatments. Your cash value account grows tax-deferred. Any gains you make, you don't pay tax. If you liquidate it properly during the term of holding it, and you want to do this with your financial advisor, of course, if you do it properly, there's actually no tax on gains. And that's based on this IRS tax code, Section 7702. Very interesting concept. Everyone's going, what the heck are you talking about? Well, end of the day is every investment you have, 401k, IRA, et cetera, every single gain either will be deferred until you retire, and when you withdraw, you get, you know, you pay taxes, right? On top of if you withdraw early and you're not 69 and a half, then you pay penalties. Well, this product doesn't have that. It's built differently. Taxes on the gains, okay? Yeah, so, and the second one is, again, reducing risk. So last week I mentioned, hey, the product, you have a floor and a cap. The floor means there's many different variations of how this floor and cap works, but I'll give you one example. It's called a 0 and 12 product. 0% loss, which is your floor, your bottom line, you can't lose. 12% gain, which is the cap. The most you can ever gain is 12%. So if you walk into, if you buy an investment, right, and the market dies at 40%, you don't lose anything, 0%. Pretty awesome. Now, if the market went up 22%, well, you're going to gain only 12%. Well, that's not really only, 12% is pretty good, knowing that you actually offset some of your losses elsewhere by not losing any money. So it's basically reducing your risk. It's called the floor and cap product, okay? And then thirdly is, get this. I don't know any investment product that does this, so listen to this. if you get sick and you get injured, there's actually a waiver premium rider that will allow the insurance company to continue crediting your account as if it is still being paid for by you. And it continues until you're able to, you know, come back, or else it deducts it from your premiums. So what investment product does that, right? And
right.
Then, of course, the bonus of this is you not only have a cash value account, you now also have a built-in death benefit program that is, if in case a tragedy happens, you die, you know, your heirs and your beneficiaries get this tax-free. It's a bonus, right? So the next two really key bonuses I thought of is, gosh, you know, an average person, all we worry about is we put money into this account, and then one day some catastrophe happens, and I can't pay for it. Well, we talked about the waiver premium. Well, listen to this. If you have a cash flow situation, say you're a business owner, and you don't have enough cash flow to pay for the premium, well, you can skip your premiums, and it will actually pay for itself through the cash account. Can you imagine that? You don't have to put any money into it at a certain point if you can't pay for it. Obviously, you want to put money into it because you want it to grow, but if you are in a situation that's tight, then you don't need to, okay? And again, I'm going to boil back down to the bottom line, total liquidity with your cash account, if you do it the proper way, tax-free. How many of us would love to have that to use for our children's education, to buy a home, to make, you know, to take out a loan, to do, et cetera, whatever it is you need to do. There's just great strategies built in within it, but you've got to talk to your financial advisor, someone like myself, to do that. So that's my tip for the day.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's do the topics then. What are our hot topics for today?
Well, there was an article out about again the Chinese buyers. Okay, will the Chinese buyers flee or flood our U.S. housing market? I think that we're going to have these kind of articles pretty much every day, or at least, you know, daily or weekly. It's pretty interesting. So really interesting. $27 billion was spent in the last year in the U.S. housing investment by the Chinese. And we had talked last week about how they're starting to go and flood, you know, go into the Texas market. I'm not sure if they're flooding it yet. We're not sure. It's kind of early. But
right.
This article is interesting because they're saying that Miami is the next target. So far, with the $29 billion U.S. investments, I believe it was 14% was in New York, while 2% is only in Miami. So a lot of Chinese are now redirecting, looking at Miami. You know, it made me really start thinking. When I was in the retail industry, I worked for a big retailer. One of the strategies in where do we open our store was to always follow the big leaders, like the Nordstrom's, et cetera, or the Macy's.
Right.
Well, you know, for real estate investors, this is pretty interesting. I'm not saying that the Chinese are going to be that big, you know, group that we're going to follow, but it's just interesting where they go, you know, what is it, the demand, the prices go up. It's just crazy because they have a lot of funds to invest, and I hear that they're actually investing not just for their own residents, but also to buy and hold. And so it sounds to me like they're, you know, they're staying. And there are three reasons that Alan Lipp, who was a partner in this article, he was a partner for Gerson Press, the accounting firm. He said
right.
three reasons why they're targeting U.S. housing. One is it's a safe place for them to go from a political standpoint. Two, it's a safe place to put their money. And three, there's opportunities for investment. You know, that's huge. I mean, if people from outside is coming into our in the United States, what should we be doing, right? I mean, we have the benefit of being here and seeing how it's growing, how the market trends are. So he hit it on dead for me. I find it absolutely amazing.
I like what you just said, too, about the fact that they bring the money here for it to be safe, right? And what does that really mean? I mean, even if we talk about Australia, we talk about Greece, you talk about these declining markets, you talk about the dollar, our dollar, you know, obviously going up against theirs because their currency is declining rapidly. Well, here's a way for them to literally, like, almost double dip, because if somebody in Australia, per se, right, somebody in Australia comes and invests in American real estate right now, what they end up doing is they stop the decline of their dollar, right? Because they're now going to put their money into U.S. real estate, so now it's not based in on the Australian economy. And then second, like you said, it's also an investment opportunity, so it's going up in value. So they're really getting the increase that they see is a lot bigger than what you actually say. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I agree with that.
You're curving the thing. Well, here's another thing. So I don't even know how to pronounce this. It's WANXIANG Group Corp. It's China's biggest auto parts maker. Their biggest auto parts maker has become the largest Chinese corporate investor in U.S. real estate. That's crazy, right?
Totally crazy. This just goes back to the part of what we're saying. A lot of like last week and this week, a lot of the Chinese money is coming in inbound to the U.S. And what does that say to all the investors out there? We're doing the right thing. We need to look at more investment.
Now here would be my next question. Right. Here's the question, though. What about if instead of us steering them away from it, we're bringing them into deals that we're doing? How is it that we can attract the right Chinese buyer? How can we go out and bring in their money and bring it into deals that we're doing? What's the strategy for that?
Gosh, Pete, you read my mind. One of the things I was going to ask you offline, and I wasn't going to put you on the spot on the radio, but now you're putting me on the spot. So here we go, right?
Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Remember how I talked to you earlier about the strategy of placing stores, where we used to follow wherever the big mother birds go is where we place our stores. Well,
right.
You know, with Gentry Group, you have this turnkey program, and you're now in Arizona. But if you follow where these folks are going, they are most of them are going to be out of the country. Some of them will buy to live, but that's a small percentage. The rest will be buy and hold. Well, your services, your turnkey services, support that buy and hold strategy as well. You have the bidding service, you have the rehab service, and you have the management service, right, of your buy and hold. So why not think of a strategy and where are they going and where should this group be going? So I'm putting that back on you, Pete.
I actually have a conference call tomorrow evening because of the time difference with somebody from China to talk about networking and marketing out to some of their investors in China to bring some of that money into the program that we're doing in Arizona. And again, when you look at it, I mean, even, you know, the investors from China, they're going crazy for 3%, 5%, 6%. I mean, when you look at where they're buying and what they're accepting as far as an ROI, they're very comfortable with that because, again, just like you're saying, we're talking about two different economies and the way that they work together. So when you're looking at R1 or 2 or R3 or 4 or 5%, to them it's extremely safe compared to what they have, and the ROI is significantly better than what they can get in China. So it's kind of cool, and it's a way to really bring solutions. Now, one of the things that you can do, and I don't know everything about this, I just know that there's a way that if you have investors from China, something about bringing in $500,000 to start a company with at least, you know, I think it's 10 employees. They can then utilize that to almost expedite them getting citizenship or some kind of thing for the country. So it that's one way to work with them and look for it. So that's something I'm going to be looking into because with all the stuff happening in China, it's definitely something we want to tap into. In fact, you know, it's crazy. What we're talking about right now would be something that would be great for Brent, who we're going to be bringing on today. Brent Wheeler, he's from Napa Valley, California. We've had him on a few times, or we've had him on the radio before. I've also had him on the magazine. Brent, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
Man, so have you been listening to Chinese investors? That would be something great for the opportunity you're going to be talking to us about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This would be a fantastic deal for an out-of-the-country investor.
So tell me real quick before we hit break. Tell me a little bit about who you are and tell us a little bit about where in the country your opportunity is, and then we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about what that exact opportunity is and go into detail on that.
Okay. Well, I am a real estate investor. I do a variety of different types of real estate investing. Everything from buy and hold to flips to wholesale to flipping contracts and so on and so forth. The deal that I'm going to be talking about after break is a land development deal. The land has already been developed, but we're looking for somebody to buy the actual development. And it's located in a very highly sought-after area. Forbes magazine had an article, I believe, about a month and a half ago about the surrounding areas around Sacramento as being one of the top 20 places to invest in real estate. And this is on the outskirts of Sacramento, near the El Dorado Hills area.
Nice. And what is it, you talked about being a real estate investor. What are some of the things that you've done before?
Well, like I mentioned, we've done a variety. We've done everything from wholesaling single-family properties to we've done tracts development. We've done customs. You know, just about everything in the residential market we've pretty much done.
And why does this development excite you so much?
Well, because I'm offering this with a lot of equity. We're giving away a huge amount of equity, and that's what's so exciting about it. And you know, how often do you get a deal where you're purchasing it with so much equity?
And this is in Northern California, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's in Northern California, east of Sacramento.
East of Sacramento. All right. Tell you what, let's go to break real quick, and when we come back, let's talk more about this and everything.
The Real Estate Investing Hour will be right back after these messages. What's the difference? Really, as a residential real estate investor, you should ask, what's the difference in real estate insurance? As it turns out, there's a big difference. Real estate investors require a unique insurance product, and National Real Estate Insurance Group is the nation's leader in real estate risk management solutions. We offer full-service residential and commercial insurance solutions to investors, including bulk REO companies, large-scale landlords, and rehabbers. National Real Estate Insurance Group is the only place where you can combine all your investment properties under one insurance policy, with major benefits such as monthly billing, same-day proof of insurance, no vacancy clauses, and coverage for every phase of your property, from vacant to rented or under renovation. See how National Real Estate Insurance Group can make a difference for you. Go to NREinsurance.com. That's NREinsurance.com. Or call 800-900-5324. 800-900-5324.
Are you a real estate investor looking for private funding so you can do more deals? More Financial is a hard money lender based in California. At More Financial, they focus on quick closings, take pride in building real relationships so you can increase your resources and opportunities. More Financial structures each deal specifically for each client, meaning whatever your need, More has it. For more information, visit morefinancial.com. That's morefinancial.com. Or call them at 877-MOR-1300. That's 877-MOR-1300. More Financial, more than just your lender. More Financial is a licensed broker with the California Bureau of Real Estate. BRE license 08160343.
And now, welcome back to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus. All right. Hey, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, August 5th still. It is 10:18 a.m., and we're talking to Brent Wheeler out of Napa, California. We're talking to him right now about an opportunity that he has access to. He locked it up a little while ago, and now he's talking all about this wholesale deal that he's got in Napa Valley that is a development deal, right, Brent?
Yeah, it is. It's a development just waiting to be done.
So talk to me about it.
Yeah, I'd like to give you a little more information on it. So let's just go back a little bit into California history. John Marshall is credited with being the one to find the first gold, to discover gold in California in 1849. And that was found in Sutter's Mill in Coloma. Now, this site that we're doing is only about 10 miles from there. So it's in gold country where gold was originally found in California. And I think whoever goes forward with this deal is going to strike gold again, because there's a lot of equity here. It's in a really unique climate range. It's a rolling hills that are from 1,100 to 1,400 feet elevation. Now, what that means, if anyone's familiar with this area of Northern California, it's below the snow line, but above the fog line. So it has just about an ideal climate. And not only is it an ideal climate for living, it's an ideal climate for growing grapes. This is also wine country. And this property has already on... Oops. There we go. Lost my mic here for a second.
It's okay.
This property has already got about 105 acres of planted grapes. It's got Cab Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Petit Verdot, and even a few other varietals there. So it's an established vineyard that is producing grapes and used in some of the best wines in California. So whoever does this is buying the entire development. They'll have control over that. And
so they will own the vineyard then?
The vineyards are part of the estate. And it's set up that way because there are some great tax advantages to doing that. It's now established as ag land. And so right off the bat, the whole development is designated as ag. The other thing that's really excellent about this development is people are, I'm sure, aware of the drought in California, right?
Right.
That's big in the news. There's a serious drought here.
Yeah, how is that going to impact us if we're buying, a vineyard's going to need water, right?
This property is about 672 acres, and on that 672 acres, there are 75 drilled wells, as well as natural springs and artesian wells. This area has water, and that's paramount when you're looking at a deal like this.
So all those wells are for that land then?
Absolutely, yeah. The property also has all the roads are paved, all the fire hydrants are in, the lots are all designated, and it has a gated entry, electronic gated entry, with a beautiful entrance, landscaped entrance. It is ready to roll. The improvements are done to 34 lots, which means there's electricity and utilities for phase one. And all that's needed is basically to get the building permits and start building.
Now, what kind of houses would go in? Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Answer that one first.
So what kind of houses?
What kind of properties are they going to be putting on there? Or would that developer be looking to put on there?
Yeah, so these lots range in size from just under 7 acres to almost 17 acres each. So these are estate lots, and it's rolling hills with gorgeous, spectacular views on just about every lot. There's not a bad lot in here. So these are estate lots. Now, the way the vineyards are set up, many of the lots are landscaped with vineyards. So you would have a beautiful estate in a vineyard. And in fact, you could possibly even develop your own personal winery with event center and take that angle too if somebody wanted to.
Well, yeah, because you're talking 7 to 17 acres. It's not like it's a 10,000 square foot lot. I mean, man, you've got room to do all kinds of stuff. Go ahead, Brian. What was your question?
Oh, I was just asking. So Brian, just so I'm understanding, I wasn't sure from the beginning what the nature of the investment. So as an investor, say I'm interested in investing in this. It sounds like I'm buying a piece of this Napa Valley vineyard where I get my own lot, my own mini little vineyard, and I have full equity, full access to do whatever I want within the zoning requirements of that. Is that what it sounds like?
Well, no, not exactly. First of all, it's not in the Napa Valley. It's in El Dorado County, which is east of Sacramento. And we're selling the entire development. So on the secondary market, then the individual would have their own lot. We're selling the entire development, which is 70 of these estate lots, all in one package.
And that's why the equity is there. So let's talk about the numbers real quick. So that way that'll probably explain this out. So share the numbers with what you're talking about, what we're doing.
Okay, so the previous owner bought this property about 12 years ago. And he was an extremely wealthy individual who had a vision. And he liked going to Africa, going on safari. And so he renamed the development Safari Estates. Now, whoever owns the development can keep that name. They can change that name. As the owner of the development and owning over 75% of the lots, you can change the CCNRs. You have full control. So this gentleman never put any of these lots on the market. What he did was he went to France and started researching vineyards and found some of the best vineyard clones and grapes that he could find in France and started developing the vineyard end of this. He invested over $11.5 million into this property. Now, that's...
To get it where it is right now.
To get to where it is right now. That's his cash investment. Now, the property, I believe, is worth far more than that. But that's what he has cash invested. What I'm selling this property for is $5.9 million. So now you can see where the equity is.
Wait, what? So you're saying he put in 11, and I get that things don't always hold their value, but I mean, you're literally getting this at a huge discount then right now because the value of the land is there. Also, let's talk about the vineyard. That has an income right now, correct?
It does. It's on an annual lease, which is renewed annually, and that lease, of course, can be renegotiated. It comes up in December, so in December it would be time to renegotiate that. So yeah, so you have a revenue stream from the grapes just as a flat out lease.
Do you know how much that is?
I do. It's absolutely not maximized. You have to understand it was just done mainly to keep things maintained at this point. The revenue on the vineyard at this moment is only $20,000, but that is unbelievably low on the current market. You could probably do five times that.
Okay.
For the revenue stream on the vineyard. Now, that's just leasing the land to a vineyard management company who then goes and they maintain it, they harvest it, and they sell the grapes. You have zero involvement.
Okay.
So it if it's 20,000 for revenue, then it tells me that the 105 acres, what percentage of that is revenue generating or what percentage of that is non? So vineyard-wise, what percentage of the 105 acres are vineyards?
It's less than 20% of the land that's in vineyards. And
so most of it is estates.
Just a small portion of the land area. I'm actually almost embarrassed to say that figure because I grew up in the wine country, and I know that that lease is just so low compared to what the revenue could be for that portion of the land.
But now, he wasn't worried about trying to make money at this point. He was just trying to keep the land from going sideways, right?
Well, exactly. It's basically rather than paying somebody to maintain the land at that point, you're creating a revenue stream rather than having to pay to maintain it. There's some other areas that are leased out for grazing cattle and for grazing horses. And there's,
I wanted to lease out some land just to sing and dance in. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. It's not zoned for that. Yes. Man, that was awesome, Van. I'm impressed with that comment. That was a good one.
Trying to understand, of the 105 acres, less than 20% is vineyards, and then you have a little bit for grazing. What's the rest of the acres? What is it being used for? Or is this plain land, property?
That's the whole development.
No, the 105 acres is all vineyards. there's over 672 acres total in the estate, in the development.
The rest is, so here's the thing. He bought a bunch of land. He's groomed the whole land. He's cut out all of the estate plots and everything else. He put up a vineyard. He got everything. All
put in the water system.
Water system. Got all that stuff done. And now he's saying, okay, and I think one of the reasons is because he's older now, right? So he's just wanting to pack up and move on. It's time for him to kind of just wrap up his life. And so he's kind of just selling and getting rid of all of these little things that he has going on so that he can move on and not have to worry about it and leave it to his family. I mean, can you imagine if you passed away and you've got this nightmare project going on? It would be horrible for somebody to come in and take over. So for him, he's just trying to take care of it, I think, prior to anything happening. So the majority of this is opened for building estates. And that's where I think the real value add comes, is that you're going to be able to build 60 to 70 estate homes worth anywhere from what, $1 to $5 million, I would assume. I mean, what are you thinking the price points on the homes would be?
Yeah, so if you look at it this way, if you were just to sell, just outright sell each individual lot, you're looking at doubling your money just on the land.
Just now, for selling the lots, not doing any more work.
Right, and then collecting the HOAs and maintaining the property.
And you'd still own the 105 acres then, right, of vineyard?
Well, the 105 acres is integral into each not each lot, but into many of the lots. So it's all an arrangement.
But you have some ownership of that, right? Because that's the whole point you're going to get the revenue stream from it.
Exactly. You still own the development.
Okay.
So, the other angle is if you were to build them all out. Now, that just depends on how grand you make each property. On the very, very low end, the properties in that area can go as in the 700-750 range, on up. And the sky's the limit. It's just that's just the nature of an estate development. How grand do you want to make them? Personally, I would keep price point under $1 million, right around 800,000, 750 to 800,000 is a sweet spot in that area, where you can sell properties really fast, and you would have a lot of profit there.
What's the industry in El Dorado County when to drive people to live there? Average house point is
700,000.
What's the industry? Yeah.
Well, I've heard people call El Dorado Hills, which is just about 15 minutes away from this location, is kind of the Hollywood North. It's a high end development area.
It's where I'd be hanging out.
There's tech in there is some tech industries there that are employers, but you're right on the edge of this. You're just a few minutes to Sacramento, so you've got the whole Sacramento area, and then right off of Highway 50, you're on the way up to Tahoe, so you have the whole Tahoe area that is very, very close from there.
What do you know about the real estate market in that area? I mean, what's the growth in the last years? Just share with us a little bit about the area.
Yeah.
I love you, Van.
I was afraid you were going to ask that question because I have a cut sheet for all of that, and it's in my computer, and I'd have to pull it up. It might take me a couple of seconds to pull that up to get those exact.
While you do that, just so I'm clear, I mean, I'm a beginner investor, and I just love this concept. I have friends who probably would be very interested in this. I'm just curious, the 672 acres, that includes the 105 acres for the vineyard, correct?
Correct, yes, it does.
Okay, and is it zoned where you can break it apart and sell it piece by piece?
Well,
yes.
All the lots are already all established.
Okay.
But you can sell each lot independently.
Right, exactly. You would be selling each lot independently.
So that's what he was saying. The very first option that he was talking about, Van, was somebody going in there, buying the entire thing, right? So you pay $5.9 million, you get the whole property, all 600 and X number of acres, right? Then you go in and you market each parcel independently. And what he's saying is you could double your money. So now you walk away with, let's say that was, let's just call it 6,000, right, out the door. So you're now 12,000 you're putting back in your pocket, right? And you still own the development and are and have that income, that ROI of between $50,000 and $100,000 for the lease of the grapes. You still own that. You still get the HOA fees. You still have control of the property, and you can still name it Pete Asmus Estates. So I mean, like, all of that is still fine. Just want you to know that.
Yes. Yeah, so, right. And this is not for a beginning investor. There it is. There we go.
No, but Van knows a lot of accredited investors as well. That's what she's saying.
Right, right. So, okay, so some of the statistics here, single-family homes over 400,000, the average list price is 725. That's average. Their average days on market are 89 days on market. Average. And
that's
over,
not bad.
Actually, okay, let's see, that's in El Dorado County. So, so that's one of the statistics there. So about 3.5 months for a house of that size.
And you've also you guys don't have a bunch of foreclosures up there because you'd be buying them. That's one of the things that Brent does, is go around and he gets foreclosures up there and flips those as well. So he's got a good grasp on what people want in the area. And I honestly think the play to go here is to buy the property and then to keep the ROI and just sell the plots and get rid of it. I mean, just turn it really quickly and then let somebody else build the house and make their own dreams, or build a house to suit and then sell. Like, don't have that be your mission. Have that be somebody else's mission. I think that's the cleanest way to take this opportunity.
I agree.
Right? What do you think, Brent? What are you feeling, man? Are you excited? My gosh, what do I got to do? Do I got to electrocute you? What's going on?
I think it could be played either way. You know, it just depends on what the individual wants to do. And that's the beauty of it too, is it could be played either way. So
right.
If somebody wanted
a combination of them.
Right.
Right. Why couldn't you sell, say, 50% of them, get your money back, and now you could sell maybe two more than 50%, right? Get some extra money, and now you could utilize that money to build out, say, two or three of those lots and really explode the money that you have. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to take this and do some amazing things with this opportunity. I'm pretty excited. Tell you what, when we come back, let's talk about how they could get a hold of you to take advantage of this.
The Real Estate Investing Hour will be right back after these messages.
8 to 15% return on investment in this market? Come on, who's getting that? I'll tell you who. People investing in asset-based mortgage notes. Want proof? Go to loanmls.com and check out their inventory. LoanMLS is an online note exchange designed specifically for the private lending industry. It's for investors, brokers, lenders, and bankers to confidentially share information about loan assets they want to buy, sell, or fund. LoanMLS gives you the power to connect over 19,000 loan professionals and investors, and they all want to buy, sell, or invest in existing loans, loan pools, or new loan originations. Membership is nominal. You can send unlimited inquiries to sellers, and if you're selling notes, you can post up to 10 listings a month. There are no contracts, and you can cancel at any time. And right now, there's a free trial to see if it's a good fit for you. LoanMLS.com makes buying, selling, or investing in loans easier. Visit LoanMLS.com today.
Are you searching everywhere trying to find a solution for investing? Overwhelmed at the options and possible directions?
Maybe you're wondering which strategy or investment option is right for you. I'm Pete Asmus, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investor Hour. I'm also the editor of Investor Quarterly. Check out Investor Quarterly at investorquarterly.com. We are the magazine that is here and driven to give you the answers that you're looking for. Go to investorquarterly.com right now. Get your current issue. Make sure you subscribe so you get all upcoming events, issues, and expos that we're going to be putting together. That's investorquarterly.com. investorquarterly.com.
Private lending, it's about more than money. It's about self-reliance and the rugged individualism that built America. The American Association of Private Lenders is the voice of private lenders. Our purpose is to advance the interests of private lending and the entire peer-to-peer community. We lend our experience, enterprise, and energy to elevate the standards of our industry and give you a voice in your future. Part of that future? Build your future with us. Join the American Association of Private Lenders today. Go to AAPLonline.com. Thank you.
And now, welcome back to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus.
Hold on.
Jeez Louise, man. What is going on with this thing? Everybody's all quiet. Nobody's saying anything. Welcome back. This is Pete Asmus, and I'm here with Van Castaneda and Brent Wheeler. And we just talked about the opportunity that he has out, that Brent has up in Northern California, El Dorado Hills. Is that right?
Yeah, it's just outside of the town of El Dorado Hills. Yeah, it's in El Dorado County.
There we go. And I love the opportunity. We've talked about a little things. If you guys are just tuning in, make sure that you download this and re-listen to this so you can hear all of the different things about this opportunity. If somebody is interested, how can they get a hold of you, Brent?
Well, you can certainly email me. The email address is brent@lqigproperties.com. Of course, you can phone at 888-572-5550, and to get to me would be option one.
And what we will do also, if you go into Asmus Media Group or the Gentry Group and you see the Real Estate Investor Hour, when you go to this show or even Google, putting his name in our search bar, Brent Wheeler, it will bring you to his episodes, and you can go ahead and click on that, and it'll have his information as well as Van's information in there as well. So, Brent, thank you so much. Did you have fun today?
I did, and thank you, Pete. I really appreciate having me on, and thank you very much.
You got it, man. Van, do you have any other questions for Brent before he goes?
I do, and this is me being a devil's advocate and having fun with this. First of all, I think it's a great opportunity. If I had the money, I'd be doing it myself. But, Brent, here's my question. If it's such a great deal, why isn't your company buying it and selling it and making money off of it yourself?
That's a great question, Van. And the reason is because what I'm focusing my attention on right now is doing the flipping the contracts. I'm looking to get in and out quickly and make just a small amount on getting in and out quickly.
And the other thing that you're doing is you've been focused. A lot of his funds have come to the Arizona market with us.
That's right. Yeah, and that is true. That's accurate.
So, and plus, I would also say, I mean, $6 million is quite a big deal. I mean, that's a lot to take down for anybody. You know what I mean? So I think that's another thing to consider that, you know, anybody that's going to take it on, what are their resources, right? And what kind of things do they have going on? Right now, I know the other thing that Brent has is three projects going on in Northern California as well. So, anyways. There's always reasons and this and that, but you guys had fun, right?
Yeah. This is a longer term play, you know, and for somebody who wants a longer term play, it's perfect.
And there's a lot of equity in that longer term play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be willing
Thanks
to hold
for
it for
sharing.
A little bit. All right. Cool. Brent, thank you so much. Have a great day. Okay.
Hey, thank you. Nice to meet you too, Van. And you guys have a great day too.
You too.
All right. Okay, well, hey, that was awesome. Be sure, too, if you live up in Northern California on October 15th, 2015, this year, a couple months, we're going to be up in Northern California. I believe Brent will be at this this event as well. It's called the Property Income or the Income Property Expo. And it's going to be up in San Jose, and you can find more information on our calendar if you go to azimuthmediagroup.com. Now, what I wanted to talk about now, Van, is a little bit about new investors that are getting in. Let's talk about some of the challenges that they have, right? What are some of the things that you see as a new investor and some of the things that you want answers to of how they work or how something works? Let's have a little chat real quick. Are you good with that?
All right. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
When we first started looking into this, our biggest concern was cash flow. As an investor, you don't want to obviously take all the risk. You want partners, but being that you're not known, no one knows you, you don't have credibility, investors don't come flocking to you. You don't have your name on all these titles because investors look for experienced folks. I mean, I met an investor at one of your meetings, Pete. He was wonderful. He gave me a lot of good information. And his rule was, I won't work with anyone unless they've had 2 successful flips. That's great.
Yeah.
But for a beginner, what does that mean? It's like, kind of like you want to get into it, but you really can't get your foot in because no one's really willing to look at you because you're such a beginner. So that's, I think, the number one challenge is looking at your potential because you're just limited with your experience. That's the biggest one I've experienced.
Well, I think that when you're looking at it from that standpoint, here's where it lies. If you're brand new and you have no money to get involved, then you're going to have to do what Brandon did. And, you know, it's funny because we're having our meeting again tonight at 6:30 in Anaheim at Mimi's. And you can go to our calendar and see where the meeting is going to be at. But that's going to be tonight. But Brandon was at it, and we were talking last week or last month. And one of the things that he did when he got in was he learned the entire system, and then he wouldn't stop until he found a deal. And once he found a deal, everybody started coming to him, right? Because once somebody knew that you knew what you were doing, they believe in you. It's the getting to the point where you can get everybody to believe in you and know that you know what you're doing. And that's going to come from results. And that's where the juxtaposition happens. It's just like, you know, if you wanted to be an actor in Hollywood, right? Well, to be an actor, you need a SAG card. Great, give me a SAG card. Well, in order to get a SAG card, you need to be in a movie. Okay, well then I'll be in a movie. Well, in order to be in the movie, you need a SAG card. Hold on, what kind of game is this, right? But that's literally what you're talking about. That is Hollywood, right? You've got to show that only you could do this part, so that you get the part, and then you get the SAG card. I mean, it's just crazy, but it's jumping through hoops so that just anybody can't do it. And I'm telling you right now, real estate investing is the same way. You can't get into it until you know what you're doing, but you can't know what you're doing until you get experience and you've done it. So it's like, well, how do you do this? And there's only 2 options. One is to leverage and to work with somebody. For instance, you've recommended somebody to us already, right? And being able to recommend a platform or a system that you feel works and you believe in, and then you're able to work with that and get a part of that, right? And so we obviously work out affiliate agreements and stuff because I want to grow. The other way is what Brandon did, which is you go out and you find a deal and you just work until you find it. And then once you find it, believe me, money comes to a deal. If you have a deal, money will come to it. Everybody goes, well, but I've had a deal, Pete, and nobody brought me money. I'm telling you, then you didn't have a deal, because a real deal will provide real money in less than 24 hours. It just will. People will fight for a real deal, right? So the question is, how do you find the real deals? And that comes to the off-market play. That's going to come through networking. It's going to come through door knocking. It's going to come through all kinds of different things. And the part that really is hard for new investors to grasp is that you've got to go and do 50 different things so that you can get responses from 1 or 2 of them. And it's like, well, man, this is a lot of work for very little result. And in the beginning, that's exactly what it is. It just is. You've got to learn the system. But once you get it down and you start to get results, like Brandon, once you get that house, once you get a flip, all of a sudden everybody's coming to you because they know you know how to analyze a deal. They know you know how to do a deal. They want to see the results. So it's very, very possible. It's just going to take a lot of work that most people aren't willing to put in. I mean, that's really...
Well, let me ask you a question, yeah. Pete. For new folks getting in, one of the, you know, people like me, very analytical, always trying to understand before I jump. I'm just one of those that don't jump blindly. And I've investigated franchises. I always thought, all right, I can't necessarily spend all the time to learn all this, so why don't I just buy a box, right?
Right.
A box that sets
yeah.
me up, and I go and I do it. Well, there's obviously you have a lot of listeners who are probably home investors, and you have a lot of folks who didn't go that path and went with Fortune Builder. What are your thoughts about going that path? Because you don't have absolute any knowledge, and you don't have the bandwidth to go out like, you know, someone bold like Brandon who figured things out and is doing great
right.
for a few years. What do you think about those concepts? I mean,
so here's my thought process. I've spoke, I've done those. Literally when I started with Robert Allen, I've done, Armando Malalongo. I've worked for him. I've worked for a Flipping Formula. I've worked for so many different companies. And at the end of the day, it all comes down, geez, it all comes down to you. And what I think is valuable about those systems is the fact that when you put up $30,000 or $35,000, you're really going to be driven to get a result more than when somebody puts up $500 or $1,000. It's just the value play, right? The difference in education isn't really there. I mean, look, the stuff that you're going to learn at the seminar is the same stuff that you'd read in a book. I mean, people say, yeah, but the book doesn't answer questions. It doesn't, but come on, man. I mean, literally, if you learn the process, you can talk to anybody that's a real estate investor. And if you know what you're talking about, very quickly, you can ascertain where you're at and what you need to do for the deal, right? But the real big thing in the difference is the connections. To me, to show up to an event that everybody paid 30 grand to be at, I'm going to be around high-level individuals. That's what excites me about that type of atmosphere. Not necessarily the learning, because I don't really think the learning is going to apply there. All the things that you're going to make money on in that environment is going to be the networking that you do, the connections that you make, the dinners that you have. Those are the things. That's where you're going to find somebody that finds a deal and brings it to you. That's where you're going to find somebody that has money and doesn't know what to do and is coming to you to place it. That's what those things, I think, really prepare you for. Now, is there some knowledge base in there? Absolutely. But again, that knowledge base you could get at multiple places, right? So to me, the real value in those comes from the people that you connect with, the people that you engage with. If you wanted to ask me which one I think is the best out of all of them, it would be Fortune Builders, if that's what you were saying.
Well, I didn't have an opinion. I was just curious. So just so many mixed feelings. A lot of folks are going on their own independently, using a lot of these forums to help each other. I thought that was pretty awesome how, you know, these investors folks are all helping each other. And then some have recommended going that path, some have not. Some have recommended going towards home investors because of the power of the advertising, getting into the homes of the residents before they go to a realtor. So all of it, I guess you're right. It all boils down to you. What is it you lack, and what is it that you need?
And what do you want to put into it?
Different, exactly.
Right? I mean, because like our friend Stacy, who's going to be on here hopefully next week, he's a home investor. He's got three different deals going. One's worth has a profit in it of 100 grand. One's got a profit of like 200 and something. Another one's got I don't even know what the third one is, but it's probably somewhere in between those two, right? So the reality is those programs got him, you know, home investors got him into those homes that allowed him to create those opportunities and deals for himself. So that home investor franchisee is paying off in spades for him. At the same time, he's seeing the challenges in California, and that's why he came out to with us in Phoenix. So I think that it's always about being multidimensional. I think it's always about having multiple streams of income, right? Not just focused on one thing, but man, if he's doing stuff here, he's got stuff going in Phoenix, he gets stuff going off, you know, over in this direction. And it's about bringing in multiple things. Just like when you talk about retirement accounts, you're talking about, look, don't pigeonhole yourself in one thing, you know, diversify. You want to have multiple things. That way, if something goes down, you've got five other assets that are staying stable. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that.
Okay, good. So are you going to be coming tonight? Are you going to make it to the Wednesday night meeting?
Yes, I will
be
there.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
We're hoping that the baby stays off just long enough for us to go to this meeting, and then by the time we get home, he can go ahead and come. We're ready for him. But I wanted to make sure I made it to this meeting.
Yeah, for those listeners who don't know, these meetings we go to, his beautiful wife attends, and she is ready to pop any day now. And I'm scared to death that it might be today, Pete.
It seriously might be today. Like, you have no idea. The baby is already in position. He's 50% effaced, and she's like 3 centimeters dilated. So, I mean, it's literally, we're like, it's any moment it could happen. Anyways, I am. I had a great day. Did you have fun today?
I did. I hope I didn't put Brett too much on the spot. I just love doing that because you know what? You do that to me all the time. So I love to have fun with other folks.
Absolutely, you've got to do things like that. It's all about. It's all about really exploring the opportunity and seeing what's what, right? You want to, let me say, if you have that question, other people have that question. So it's better to get that question out and have it answered. You know what I mean? So anyways, all right, guys. Well, hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you check us out. Go to azimuthmediagroup.com. You can look at the REI Hour. You can check out our calendar. Come see when you can see us, meet us, come out and meet Van tonight as well. We'd love to answer your questions and meet you in person. With that, guys, have a great day and make sure you go make something happen. You got to make something happen because it's what it's all about. It's what life's all about.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus. Tune in every week, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Also, check out Investor Quarterly at investorquarterly.com. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and as always, go make something happen.